Okay, hello. As you can see, I'm the organised person here. We're going to kind of continue where we've been over the last few weeks. We've been looking in great depth about our mind and our mindsets and our belief systems and our value systems and how we live out of what we believe. So those things that are inherently on the inside of us as our value systems, we have no choice but to live out of those. And we've been unpacking that and seeing why we believe what we believe. Well, today we're kind of going to move on to look at our emotions. That whole girly stuff. Emotions, which is not really girly at all, because we all have emotions and we all function at an emotional level. And we're going to just look at why we function the way that we do. So becoming emotionally whole is quite a thing today in the world. You can read a million books, you can go online, you can do courses, you can see counsellors, therapists, you can do anything for emotional wholeness. Now what we know is that Jesus is our healer. And he wants to bring us into emotional wholeness rather than just dealing and coping with the way that we feel, that we can have freedom and restoration in our emotions. So we're on a voyage of discovery about a lot of things here, as you know. But emotional healing is also something that is really PC in the secular world. For us, it's been important since the beginning. God put in our hearts at the very beginning when the church was formed here, Isaiah 61, which I'm going to read to you, which is the basis really of why we were founded. And in Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Eternal, is on me. The Lord has appointed me for a special purpose." Now, that's not just me, although it is me. That's all of us. "He has anointed me," us, "to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to repair broken hearts and to declare to those who are held captive and bound in prison, be free from your imprisonment. He has sent me to announce the year of Jubilee, the season of the Eternal's favor. For our enemies, it will be a day of God's wrath. For those who mourn, it will be a time of comfort. As for those who grieve over Zion, God has sent me to give them a beautiful crown in exchange for ashes, to anoint them with gladness instead of sorrow, to wrap them in victory, joy, and praise instead of depression and sadness. People will call them magnificent, like great towering trees, standing for what is right. They stand to the glory of the Eternal who planted them." Basically, that's saying we have good news because we know Jesus. We're in relationship with God. And we don't need to live under, damaged, wounded. And we have the power and the anointing to bring other people into relationship with Jesus and find their healing and their wholeness. Good news? Good news. So many of us carry deep wounds that affect every area of our lives. We often don't even realise it because it's just us. It's just me. It's just the way that I am. We learn to cope the best we can. When we are born, we all have needs. We have needs to be accepted, to be affirmed, to be loved, to belong, to have security, and to have purpose. Everybody is born with those needs in place. We all have them. God's intention is that we have those met in him, that we have an intimate relationship with him as our father, as our daddy, and he will meet those needs on the inside of us. What we need to understand is that we were not just physical beings. We are not just people here in a physical realm, but there's another realm. There's a spiritual realm. And we were created in that realm, in the heart of God. God knew us before we ever arrived here. We were formed in his heart. We entered this world through our mother's womb, but we existed before. We existed in the spirit realm, and we are made in God's image, and God is spirit. God knows all about us. He wrote a book about us. We have a plan, a purpose, and a destiny before we ever came here. Unfortunately, life kind of got in the way, and for most of us, it's really messed us up, and we're on a journey now of coming back into alignment with God's original plan for us. Adam and Eve in the garden walked with God. They talked with God. They had an intimate relationship with him. That was what God's heart was for each one of us. But it got messed up. They made a wrong choice. They went their own way. But in the garden, they had significance. God told them to rule and subdue the earth. They were secure. God looked after them. He provided for them. Everything they needed was in God, and they belonged. They belonged in relationship with God. They walked with him. They saw him face to face. That's God's heart then. That's God's heart for us now. And for those of us who are pursuing that journey, that's the journey that we're on, to become more and more in our intimate relationship with God. So when they chose their own way, they chose the DIY pathway, we all know what happened. They lost their identity. They got deceived from who they really were. And that's affected us ever since. We no longer are connected with God in that way. So those needs that God intended to be found in him are still there. They're still on the inside of us, but now we find them elsewhere. Until we come into a relationship with God, where we start to see where we've been a little bit messed up, and God brings us back. God is our healer, and he wants to bring us back in intimate relationship with him and restore everything that has been broken, wounded, and damaged. So how do we meet those needs that we've got on the inside? Because they are there. We've looked a lot at the mind. We've looked at how our value and our belief systems are formed from our early environment. And we looked at how our mind is made up of our unconscious, which is our storage place. So anything that happens is stored in our unconscious mind. All the circumstances, situations, events, memories, everything is stored in our unconscious mind, and we're not really aware of it. Our subconscious mind draws on those memories or coping mechanisms when we need them. It filters what we need at any time, and it comes into our conscious, which is the here and the now. And that's what we use in the here and the now. My emotional development and thought patterns are formed by my early environment in my family. My upbringing shapes me, and my foundations for life are set by how that is. Good and bad events and experience shape me and form my character. I develop strategies and coping mechanisms for dealing with life. How I am treated and spoken to affects how I feel about myself. And for a lot of us, that's where our emotional damage occurs in our early childhood. But it can be positive and it can be negative. Now, on the inside of us, we have a seed bed deep on the inside. That can either be a seed bed which receives positive things, like you're wonderful, you're precious, you're special, you're loved, you're valued, and we soak it up and we went, yes, I am. Or it can be a negative seedbed due to things that have happened or not happened, which says you're useless, you're rubbish, you're rejected, you have no worth, you have no value. And on the inside, you think, yes, I am. And depending what our seedbed is built of will depend really how our emotional development goes. Because life happens. Things happen all the time. And seeds, things that happen to us, we receive or not receive, depending what's on the inside. So if we have a negative seed bed on the inside of us, which says, you're no good, you're rubbish, you're a failure, you're unlovable, and you just feel rejected and wounded, and that's how you feel, when someone says, you're amazing, you're really precious, you're really special, that seed goes down, but it doesn't take root, because the soil is the wrong type of soil. So it's really important that we start to see what's on the inside of us, because we don't want that soil anymore, because we are God's children. God loves us so much, and there's a contradiction in what goes on the inside of us with what's happened in our natural life, with what God says and feels about us. And the reason that we need healing is because we need our soil base changed, so that when God says, you're precious, I love you, you're mine, I chose you, I have a plan and a purpose for you, I've got good things for you, we can receive it. But we're only going to receive it when the soil is in the right place. Sorry, the right kind of soil. And that's the process that we're in. And the emotions are what we're looking at today. And emotions are our feelings. It's how we feel about certain things And that really is what comes on the outside, isn't it? So we have roots on the inside, and our emotions are what flow out of those roots that are on the inside. So if I could have my very glamorous scribe, what I thought we could do is let's look at positive emotions and negative emotions. Can we have two in different colours, please? If you like. So can you please shout out, do you want to put positive and negative? Positive, negative. Bossy, aren't I? So I need some help here. So could you please shout out some emotions that you would perceive as positive? Joy, happy, serene, love, peace, okay, we'll take a break from that. Some negative emotions. Fear. Oh, these are big ones. So sadness, disappointment. I'm speaking these out for the tape. Any more? Despair. Frustration. Sorry, what came in? Anxiety, yes, good one. Well, not good to be anxious, but good. It's a good example. I'm more any more from anyone? No more? Must be more than that. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there for a minute. So, as we can see, even from our list there, you may, we have more negative emotions than positive emotions. Although, hopefully, as time goes on, we'll get more positive ones as well. There are really two basic core emotions: love and fear, and most of the others flow out of that in some way. But we've talked about our upbringing shaping us, and abuse of any description, any trauma that we have in our lives, it affects us at an emotional level. Whether it's sexual, physical, mental, emotional, it stunts our emotional growth. And for many people, they get stuck. And you can talk to people, or you can see someone have an eruption, and you're like, oh, they're acting like a child. And often it's because something has happened, and it's caused a fragmentation. It's caused something to get stuck on the inside of us in deep wounds and deep pain. Because when something bad happens, or a painful experience, it tells you you're not valued, or you're not worth anything, or you don't matter. It's interesting because probably one of the biggest negative emotions, which isn't up there, is rejection. Rejection is a huge emotion that I would say most of us suffer from. And if you're not wanted, or if you've been abandoned, or any of those things, rejection is just something that becomes normal to you. And it's very difficult to feel accepted and like you belong if rejection is something that you have suffered from. Fear, it is there. Fear. Again, things happen to us and they leave us living in fear. Now, life happens and sometimes we get rejected. Sometimes things happen and we get afraid. Those are not wrong. I'm not talking about emotions being wrong, because emotions aren't emotions. They're how you feel, aren't they? It's what underlies them. What has caused that feeling? Because sometimes emotions are crippling. They overwhelm us and we cannot move forward because we get stuck in those emotions. So when you're treated badly, you may feel really angry You may feel bitter. You may feel hatred towards something. But those emotions aren't lone things. They're there because something has happened underneath that has deeply wounded us. So we learn from what's around us, how we see others relate, and it becomes normal. Emotions aren't right or wrong, really. They are emotions, and we need to identify them and how to deal with them. The flip side of negative emotions are positive ones. And hopefully, we all have some nice positive emotions that we can draw on. Nice feelings, childhood memories, maybe. For some people, thinking of a grandparent may provoke really warm, fuzzy memories. For some, it may provoke terror and horror. We are all different, but there are things, nostalgia, big business. For me, if you play 70s music, I go, ah, Bay City Rollers. It takes me back to a happy time. Some people, it makes them go, oh. We all have our things that make us feel happy at some point in time. For some of us, when we're meditating or when we're thinking of things, we think, I need to go to my happy place. And we may have a place that provokes emotions for us that feel safe or it feels nice or it makes us feel good or peaceful. Unfortunately, negatives usually outweigh the positive, and that's what we draw on in times. So my memory, my background shapes me so that when certain things happen, I react in a certain way. So I may have been bullied as a child by somebody called Billy Smith. Now, I will inadvertently, whether I can help it or not, probably have a reaction to that name when I hear it. He may not be around, but somebody may say to me, I saw Billy Smith the other day. If I have an emotional wound inside, I am going to have a reaction that I can't help. Maybe fear, maybe anger, maybe hatred, maybe inadequacy. Maybe I'm cross with myself because I didn't act and I couldn't protect myself. Emotions are feelings, and sometimes we feel like there's been a knife stuck in your heart, just the mention of a name, or you feel sick deep down on the inside. It's an irrational reaction can occur, maybe even 10 years later, to something that happened so long ago, which means there's a deep wound somewhere on the inside. Maybe you've spoken to somebody at some point, and you're talking about someone or a situation, and you see their face tighten, you see their cheeks start to twitch and you think, uh-oh, what's going on here? There's an issue, there's something, there's an emotional reaction. These things are a sign that something is not right deep down on the inside. Undealt with pain, memories. A now conversation can trigger a past pain. Just because something you react to now, it doesn't have to be now that something's going on. It can be drawing from something that's been in the past. A siren, a fire engine, an ambulance, they can all be triggers to trauma, to emotional pain in the past. We are learning more and more about how to get healing in these areas, and God is expanding us and he's blowing our minds in some of these things. We've always had a heart to see people set free, healed and restored. Now God is just widening the ways that we can use this, and I'm so looking forward to Carrie Browning coming to see and what she teaches, because she has a real ministry in releasing toxic emotions. Because when emotions are trapped on the inside of us, they can affect us physically. They can cause illness. They can affect us mentally as well as just emotionally. So God is just opening up the new avenues we're exploring with touch, with frequency, with sound, with oils. It's all there. God is bringing fresh revelation to us. I know for me, some time ago, I was really close with someone and the relationship went badly wrong and I felt very betrayed, and I carried that pain and that wound, and it took me a long time to be able to get rid of the betrayal that I felt, and I knew how to do it. I knew the principles, I knew how to get free, and yet it was embedded so deeply that if I went to town, I'd make sure I didn't walk past her house. If I thought I saw her, I would hide in a shop doorway, because the pain that we feel on the inside can be so overwhelming and so intense. I've talked to many people here in the day centre. We try and cope with our pain. We try and numb it. And that's often the entrance point for substance misuse. I can't cope with how I feel. I know what will make me feel better. Unfortunately, it doesn't work, does it? Because the pain comes back again. And I had a conversation with a guy not so long ago, really, and he was trying to deal with his substance misuse. But he said, the trouble is, as soon as I stop taking this, my head gets in the way, my heart starts to hurt, and the pain comes back. Jesus is the way that we can get real healing from those things deep down on the inside. So sometimes we look to false comforts to make us feel better. Sometimes we push people away. Sometimes we think, actually, I can't cope with this. I'm not going there again. I've been hurt too many times. I'm done. I'm done with people. I'm done with relationships. So we shut down and we think we don't need anyone. Or we're so desperate to have our emotional needs met in others that we become people pleasers. We try and buy friendship, buy relationship. We suck people dry. We become needy. We become codependent. So how I learn to cope with trauma and pain becomes part of who I am. It becomes normal for me. Now, there's a very classic illustration that I've used many times. And some of the things I'm going to say do actually come from one of Neil Anderson's books that I read many years ago, but it's a very good explanation of how we cope emotionally. And it's classic for the fight or flight scenario, which when we're backed into a corner, we either fight or we get out of here really, really quickly. So the illustration is of three boys, three sons, 18, 13 and 9, who have an alcoholic, violent father. So when the boys are at home, the sound of the key in the lock triggers each of those boys in different ways as they have learnt to deal with the trauma that they have gone through. So the oldest son, the 18-year-old, he immediately goes to the door with his fists up, ready to fight. The 13-year-old goes and says, can I get you a cup of tea, Dad? What can I do to help you, Dad? He tries to appease. And the 9-year-old runs under the bed and hides. And those are three different reactions emotionally to trauma that has been stored in those people. And we will have our own way that we cope, that we deal with in our lives. They are automatic reactions. Emotional responses obviously aren't something that we think, how shall I respond in this situation? Let me think now. Often, it's just there. We can't help it. We've reacted. It's a knee-jerk reaction. It's just like, bang. It's called a stronghold. Now, we looked in depth about strongholds in our mindsets and in our thinking over the last few weeks, but we have emotional strongholds. They are just bang. They are just there, automatic. And then what happens is we build fortresses around them to protect them, and we become imprisoned. Sometimes, no matter how we try and change, you know, sometimes I react in a way and I'm like, I don't like that. Why did I do that? Why did I react in that way? You know, when I poke Karen's eyes out, just like, why did I just do that? That wasn't very nice. Sometimes we don't like our reactions. We don't like the things that we do, the way that we behave. What we need to look at is it's usually a sign that there's a wound on the inside. The good news is there's hope for change. We don't have to stay that way. We can be healed. We can be free. We can be different. We all come with emotional baggage, except me. We all come with emotional baggage, and we bring that damage into our relationships with each other and ultimately into our relationship with God. And as Jo said this morning, God showed her something in her father wound that was affecting her relationship with God, because we see God through our filters. So when we have a belief system based on our experience and memory, if we've been abandoned, if we've been rejected, if we have experienced that you can't trust people, if we've been betrayed or let down, those filters will be really good because we will want to protect ourselves. So we come into a relationship with God who says, I love you. You're so precious. I'll never let you down. You can trust me. I've got good things for you. You're like, really? Because it will hit against those things that have been built up and set up on the inside of us. Now, we've looked about what we need to do with our minds, but we need to look at our emotions because that's where the wounds and the pain sits. God is good. God says, I don't have to earn his love. God says, you don't have to earn his love. He loves you unconditionally. He just loves you because he loves you because he loves you. Now, I'm sure for some people here, some people might be like, oh, I know, it's wonderful. And some people might be like, yeah, right, you're having a laugh. It will be because things have set up on the inside of us that caused us to react in that way. The truth is incredible, but it will hit against my blockages and my filters, because if I haven't been treated very well, I will feel unlovable. I will feel unworthy. I will feel not good enough, and I possibly have a fear of rejection that this is too good to be true. Everybody's always let me down, so why is God going to be any different? Those things are on the inside of me because my experience has created my memory, my emotional pain, and that's what I live out on. Now, Jesus' death and resurrection has brought me back into relationship with God. Everything that Jesus did on the cross, he sorted out that whole DIY pathway. He sorted out that whole wrong identity, that whole deception. Sin has been dealt with, which means I can be restored in body, soul, and spirit. My mind, my emotions, everything can be restored because of what Jesus did. I am God's child. I can live in the truth of that or not, but that is the truth of who I am. And I have a choice. The cross is a place of exchange where I can bring all of my pain, my wounds, those things that have damaged me, and I can exchange all of the negatives for love, for acceptance, for belonging, for peace, for security. But there is a place of exchange where I need to see, actually, I don't want to be where I am anymore. I want all that God has got for me. Life may have sucked up to this point in time, but it doesn't have to stay that way. We can be different. So in my natural experience, I may have felt unworthy of love because I might not have been loved. But God loves me, and I can exchange that for a new foundation of God's love. We have to get to know God for this to be fact, for this to be true. And what we can do is we can engage with God as love, and he can transform us, because me telling you isn't really going to cut it, because it's going to hit into everything that's been set up on the inside of you. But you can experience that, you can engage with that, and God can transform you himself, because God is love. So we want to be meeting love. We've been so robbed. Why do I feel I need to earn acceptance or love or value? Because of my past experience, but I can move forward. Now, I can tell you, just believe God loves you. Just believe it. Doesn't mean anything. And for many years in Christian circles, we were just told, believe the truth. This is the truth. Just believe it. But we all know, unless we actually are changed on the inside, it doesn't become our new foundation. We need to know that we know that we know in our knower that God is love. Because from that place, all of this other stuff, we can trust him to change and bring transformation. Now, our emotions, back to those things, they're our warning system. So our emotions are to our soul what physical pain is to our body. They should be a warning system to let us know what's going on the inside of us. And we all, as I said, have learned how to cope with emotions in different ways. And for some people, again, this is based in Neil Anderson stuff, but it's so good, I'm just going to say it anyway. It's called we stuff it. What do we do with our emotions? Well, I don't know what to do with this, so I'm just going to stuff it right down, suppress it deep down on the inside, push it down, stifle it, cover it over, deny it, ignore it, pretend it's not there, choose not to deal with it. How are you? Fine. We have a lovely thing for fine. It's frantic, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Because people who say fine straight away probably aren't. But everything has been squashed down deep on the inside. No problem. It's just life. You know, it's what it is. But deep down on the inside, if we have emotions that aren't dealt with, there can be a bubbling cesspit going on deep down. Bitterness, anger, hatred, insecurity. And it just festers under the surface. The mention of a name, as we said previously, it can cause it to boil over. And a minor incident can trigger a huge outburst which doesn't tie in with actually what's going on. And that can be a sign that there's something just been buried deep down on the inside. Repression is where we don't realise that we've pushed things down. For some people, they don't know. They don't feel emotions particularly. They're very controlled. And that often can come from family background where you say, well, we didn't discuss emotions. We didn't do emotional things. We didn't talk that way. Over time, emotions can appear to be switched off. You don't know how you feel. You can seem lovely, placid, stable. Nothing bothers them, do they? They're always on an even keel. They're always lovely. Well, the fact is, because nothing's going on. It's so pushed down that they just don't understand. But all it means is those emotions are just literally pushed down. There's no negative emotions, but there's no positive ones either. And that's not great for us. The best way for us to come into healing in this is to start to be aware of what's going on the inside of us. The other way is the indiscriminate explosion. Those people, I don't have any problem expressing my emotions over you, over you, over you, and over you. I don't care how it makes you feel, but I feel better now. Thank you very much. Out of control. I may feel better, but I've destroyed those around me. Again, there will be a root on the inside that we need to be healed from. So as I say, learning to identify, which way do I operate? How do I deal with emotions? And then learning to express them, investigate them, ask God, acknowledge it. Do you know what? God knows when we have, if we're having a little paddy or a tantrum on the inside, sometimes we can think, no, I can't tell God that. Do you know what? He already knows. Let's get real about some of this stuff. Let's start identifying what's going on the inside. It's okay not to be okay because we can move forward from it. So do I rule my emotions or do they rule me? People who are ruled by their emotions are often out of control. They live by how we feel. They feel, you know, there'll be things going on with us and we may feel really angry or really whatever else we may feel. But at the end of the day, we don't want to be people that just let it all out over the place. We want to be people who, okay, why do I feel like that? What's going on? And get some healing deep down on the inside. When I have negative emotions, what I do with my mind is really, really important. And again, we've looked at this at length over the last few weeks because there may be a trigger and I may trigger an emotional reaction. But once I triggered, say, anger, I then got to identify and deal with it because I don't want to be an angry person. So I don't want to be angry all over people. So I can either identify what's going on and learn to deal with it, or I can feed it. I can feed my anger. Revenge, rage, what am I going to do? We can feed it positively and take hold of it and bring it to God, or we can feed it negatively and we can get ourselves out of control. Fear is a really big emotion. We've got it up there. You know, if fear is an issue, then there's a reason and a root for it. I've been having some, there's a few things going on recently and I have felt fearful and I haven't felt fearful in a really long time. And it's not overwhelmed by fear because God's done some work in my life, but I'm realizing that some of my reactions to things are a bit, you know, a bit feeling sicky in my tummy or a bit anxious or a bit whatever. Well, I got a choice to feed that and go into full-blown fear or to say, actually, I know God's for me because I do know God is for me. And we have to take responsibility for how we deal with some of these things and bring them under control. And it's ongoing. And for many of us here, we're going through things. You know, we're going through changes. We're transitioning. There's all sorts of things that God is doing. And how we react emotionally, let it be a sign to something that they may be going on at a deeper level and allow God into it. Ask God, why, what, when, how, what's this all about? Traumas, wounds, pain. Is there a debt? Has something happened to me? Because most roots of pain are because something has happened or not happened that should have happened. And forgiveness is usually the key for our freedom. If something has happened, often we have been wronged, somebody has done something to us which has caused us pain. Forgiveness is the key to freedom. And I know that's really hard when you're in the middle of a deep pain, but it is the answer. And the only reason not to do it, it keeps us in prison even longer. We think sometimes we're letting other people off the hook, but the only person in prison through unforgiveness ends up being ourselves. So if you start to identify that you may have some emotional baggage, I would encourage you to let God in. Because our past is our past and it's happened, but we don't have to allow our past to determine our future. Let God, what he says about us, determine who we are and how we move forward. So whatever has happened in the past, it doesn't need to continue to define you unless you let it. It's time to stop being robbed. It's time to think, okay, what do I need to let go of? What does God want to heal me from? Because all negative emotions will hinder us in a negative way. So we are not shaped as much by what is happening around us as we are by how we view it, what is happening. And that's where our emotions come in, because how we feel about it is really key. Life's events don't control who you are. God determines who you are. And our view of life's events determined how well we handle the pressures of life, which is why we need our emotions healed. In reality, we have little control over our feelings, because you can't help how you feel. And there's nothing worse than saying to someone, you shouldn't feel like that. It's not very helpful, is it? You're like, but I do. There's a reason, and we need to deal with the reason. So we have little control over our feelings, but we do have control over our thoughts, and that's the key here. When you feel something, what are you going to do about it? And our thoughts determine our feelings and then how we act. So we need the truth on the inside of us so that when things happen, when we realise that we have a wound or a pain or there's a trauma that affects us, we can see things from God's perspective. Because where it doesn't line up with what God says about us, we can be different, we can be healed, we can change. But if what we believe isn't based on God's word and what God says about us, then what we feel won't reflect that reality. So we said our belief system determines our thoughts. Your thoughts determine your actions. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. So you can't have a positive life and a negative mindset, which is what we've been looking at, but our emotions come in line and are part of that. Because when we see things through our past pain, we see everything through filters. And whatever your particular filter may be, and it will be different for all of us because we are all unique and pain affects us in different ways. And things affected my life, which you might have breezed through because you're not me. And things affected you, which might not have affected me. But we see things. We talk about rose-coloured filters, spectacles, rose-coloured spectacles. Actually, we have negative filters that everything can be seen through. So if I've been rejected, I will see through a filter an expectation of rejection. If I have been betrayed, I will see through a filter of betrayal and expect everyone to betray me. Mistrust, we could go on. Disappointment, we could go on and on and on. And we need to acknowledge that those emotions shape us and we don't want them to shape us anymore. So my expectation of my present and my future is tainted by my past unless I allow God in to deal with it and cleanse my memory and set me free. We need to mature emotionally so that we can move on. Now, I'm going to share a little testimony of mine, which is not relevant for now, but it was a huge area for me because self-worth was an area that I really struggled with when I was growing up. I had an expectation. In my soil, it was insecurity. And I came from a really good family, which, you know, this stuff is no respecter of persons. It's seriously, any wound can get in there. I came from a really good family. I had two sides to my family, and my mum's family and my dad's family. One side of my family was very beautiful. The other side of my family was not. Now, I'm talking about externally beautiful. I had this soil of insecurity and fear of rejection and all sorts of stuff going on. And I, more than anything else, wanted to take after the beautiful side of my family. Now, I had an uncle, bless him, who was on the other side of the family. And my gran, I loved her dearly, but we called her Fat Gran. So that will tell you a little bit of, she was fat, very, very, very fat. And my uncle would constantly tell me I was like my fat gran. With all the insecurity and everything that was going on the inside of me, that was the last thing as a teenage girl that you wanted to be told was you were like your fat gran. He used to say to me, you just like her, you're going to be like her, you're going to be her shape when you grow up. And you, I'm from Cornwall, and there was a certain build in little villages. And if you were called Portlaoise build, which means nothing to a lot of people, it meant you were really short and stocky. And you had rugby player legs, which were like prop forward, so you were squat. You were all these things. And he used to constantly tell me that that's how I was. And if you're told something often enough and your soil isn't great, what do? You believe it. You accept it. You come into it. So in my mindset, that's what I believed. But in my emotion, that's what I felt. So I felt fat, ugly, huge, insecure, terrible, really. I ended up with body dysmorphia because I didn't realize that I had so taken this on. I desperately wanted to look like my beautiful aunties, but in my mindset and in my emotions, I looked like my gran. And I would look in the mirror and that's who I would see. I would see this fat, ugly old lady because she was an old lady and I was a teenage girl. It affected me that way. So wherever I went, I felt unacceptable. I felt unlovable. I felt unworthy and insecure. I would walk into a room with a huge, great big smile on my face, but I would meet people I'd never met before. And do you know the first thing that would come into my head? I bet they think I'm really fat and ugly. Not, hello, it's nice to meet you. That was the thing. Those strongholds had taken root, and in my emotions, it was overwhelming. I looked for acceptance. I needed to feel attractive to other people because I saw myself as this grotesque thing. And I spent in this cycle of emotional turmoil, and it's rubbish, isn't it? That's how it outworked for me. Now, I can stand here and tell you this because I'm not like that now, because God healed me and he set me free and he restored my image to how, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what we look like on the outside. It's what's on the inside. That's who I really am on the inside. But I was robbed because I believed those lies and my emotions were just all over the place. Now, I don't believe that it would take me as long to get free now because we have so much more revelation of God and we can encounter Jesus and we can encounter that love, as we've already said. But I needed to forgive my uncle. Now, I know that he didn't mean to hurt me. And sometimes when we're in this place, things happen to us and we're like, really? They didn't mean to do it. He didn't mean to cause that wounding and pain in my life. But what I needed to do was identify, because of what he said to me, it caused this effect. Not so that I could hate him and be angry and justifiably resent him, but so that I could get free and cancel the debt that I feel owed. And so many of us have things that have shaped us. What I want to say is, it's not your funny little ways. It's not just you. You don't have to accept being like this. We don't have to struggle on. There is power in Jesus. He wants to set us free to be all that God intended for us. So I'm going to leave it there. Maybe we'll continue this journey another day. But I know Alice is going to come and share now. But I just, for today, just be open and ask God, is there an area in your emotions where God wants to set you free, where he wants to bring healing and freedom to you?
I know we've been sat listening for a long time, so I won't go on for too long, but I was just pondering, I knew that we were going to be talking about emotions this morning, and I was just sort of pondering what this looked like. And as you know, last week I was talking about the sea, and I'm going to talk about the sea again today, because it just sort of feels relevant. God has been speaking to me about this. So I went to the beach on Friday evening, and we were walking along the beach, and it's a really long beach, so you can walk for a long time in the water. And at times I was just walking and, you know, the water was up to my ankles, and that feels fine because, you know, it's safe and it's just lapping around your ankles and it's fine. And then you sort of get a bit deeper and it goes up to your knees and you're just like, ooh, it's up to my knees. That feels a bit more unfamiliar. I'm not used to that sensation of water sort of lapping around my knees. And then a wave will come in and it splashes over your knees and your shorts are wet and you're just like, oh my goodness, am I going to fall over? You know, is there something even bigger coming? And I think that's what it feels like with emotions. And I was just pondering this. Sorry, I've written notes on my phone. And, sorry, it won't open. I was just trying to sort of see if God was really speaking to me or if I was just being weird. And I found this article that was saying, "Surfing the tides of emotion, are you willing to get wet?" Which I thought was sort of confirmation for me. And I just feel like sometimes things can feel really unfamiliar or can feel buried. So you bury emotions, and then actually when they come up, they feel really unfamiliar to you, and you're like, oh, I don't know what to do with this because I'm not used to embracing this thought, or I don't normally allow myself to sort of wade into this emotion because I don't want to. But I think sometimes the thing is that emotions are there for a purpose. We are given a soul and our emotions work out from our soul. And actually, we were designed to have emotions. And so when we suppress them and we don't entertain them, actually, we're saying that we don't want the things that God has given us. And God has given us emotions as a tool. And sometimes we can actually reject that tool and say, I don't want them. You know, I'd rather not have these emotions, or they're too difficult, they're too challenging, I'm not going to look at them. So actually, just like Joe was saying, obviously God is on our case at the moment. So I've had a situation recently where somebody said something to me and I felt really, really angry. Just like, oh my goodness, I felt hurt, I felt angry. And I knew that what they said was actually not unpleasant. It wasn't an unpleasant thing, but my reaction was just anger. So I have choices here. You know, the reasonable choice would be to lash out, wouldn't it be? You know, they've said something horrible to me, I'll respond back, because that seems like the reasonable response. You know, it's like I'm going to respond to what they've said and I'm going to say that they've hurt me and that's not fair. Or the other choice is that you just bury it and you ignore it and you're like, well, that's really weird. I shouldn't feel like that, so I'm just going to bury it. But actually, in this process of what we're going through at the moment, is that we're saying that emotions come up and can often be triggered by things that have happened in our past. So actually, what I'm choosing to do at the moment is I'm choosing to embrace that emotion in the way that I'm saying, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, I feel that. I'm not going to act out of it. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to hide it. I'm just going to look at it and go, okay, God, where did that come from? Because this feels too much. So where is it linked to? And I'm still in a process with it. And actually, I feel like I've had this sort of picture this morning. And sometimes if you imagine soil that Deb was talking about, sometimes soil can get really compressed and it can get compacted. And if you look at the soil at the moment, when it's so dry, it's hard. And things can get stuck in that place. And you know that you have something there, but you just can't see it. So for me, I'm asking God to sort of soften up my soil, to come in and to release the thing, the hurt, the pain, and to show me what it is so that I understand the emotion that I'm feeling. So I just feel like it would be really good if we would just think about the emotions that we feel, particularly those, the ones that we don't want to feel, and actually say that we honour them because they serve a purpose. You know, they're not something that we want to run away from. They're something that we want to look at and ask God to help us in that process. So what I'd like us to do at the moment is, Jeremy's just going to play some music. And sometimes we need to forgive ourselves for not looking at emotions and actually say, yeah, I'm going to embrace the emotions that God gave me. I'm going to honour them. I'm not going to choose to act out of them. But ask God, if you've got things that you feel are stuck inside of you, that you don't know where they've come from, you don't know what they are, but you know that they're stuck, you know you've got things, issues, pains, hurts that are creating an emotional response that's not helpful, just allow God now to come and soften your soil. Allow him to just come and saturate you and soak you, and allow those things that have got stuck to be released. Just ask God to show you the root of the emotions, those things that you know are unreasonable, and just let him give you insight into that. And we're just going to have some time now where we step into that place of God's presence. We just hold Jesus's hand because he's with us. He's not going to let us feel overwhelmed or out of our depth. We're just going to hold his hand and allow him to minister to us in those areas of pain where we've got wrong emotional responses. So I'm just going to allow you to spend some time engaging with that. So if you're willing, just say to God, Father, I allow you to come into those dark places, into those areas that are squashed and compressed. I allow you to come in and to minister healing to me. I allow you to come in and bring release so that those things that are stuck can be opened up. And I allow you to come and heal my emotions, to bring me into a place of wholeness and restoration. Father, where I have emotions that feel too strong, that feel too painful, that feel like they're going to come up and overwhelm me, Father, I give those to you. I trust you. And just allow the Father to embrace you and to take those things that you can't carry yourself. Just let him come and heal that pain. Heal those emotions. Where you feel overwhelmed, just take his arm and draw on his strength. Draw on his enabling, because you're not alone in this. Thank you. just as we worship and whatever we're going to do next, we don't know. Just allow God to continue with that process. I just want to explain a bit about the bowl quickly. If you think of a negative emotion, it often makes you feel like tight and compressed. And, you know, even if it's an explosive anger, it's like it shuts you down and it doesn't serve you well. But positive emotions sort of help you to open up. If you think of a flower, it's like it blooms and it blossoms and love and peace. They're relaxing, they're positive. And actually what the bowl does is it changes your frequency. So positive emotions will have a higher frequency than negative emotions. So the sound from the bowl increases your frequency, which allows for you to release things. It allows you to open up. It changes the sound that you create and creates release. And actually, when Gray was playing that, it felt really powerful. So it may seem weird, but just that's partly the explanation. There may be other reasons why we use bowls, but that was one of them. Deb, did you want to?
As we worship together now, so I'd like to invite Jeremy and Jean, who are going to facilitate us. We have a few props today because sometimes we acknowledge that we have negative emotions and we need to let them go. And obviously, if there's a deep wound that you've identified, then forgiveness is the key for you. And if you feel God has really shown you anything, then and you need more than we are here today, then if you speak with Karen, we can arrange an appointment for some proper intensive ministry. But today we've got some props because I was watching a children's program with my grandson a couple of months ago, and it was a little rabbit, and he was really cross with his friend. Who'd upset him, and he was really, he became a very cross rabbit. And another little friend said to him, "Look at the clouds. Why don't you blow out your angry at the clouds?" And it really struck me, and I thought, what a beautiful thing, because actually, we have to release negative stuff. We don't want it anymore, do we? We want to release it. So in this little program, this rabbit was blowing out his angry at the clouds, which I thought was wonderful. So today we've got some blowy out things, if anyone finds it helpful. We know that some people find it really helpful to write things down and then pin them to the cross in order to let them go. So I just really encourage you to continue doing that. But we've got bubbles. So during the time, if you want to blow out, if God's talking to you or you just want to get rid of some stuff, we've got bubbles there. Please feel free to use them. And sometimes it's helpful if you want to blow up a balloon and then let it go. In the Frozen song, let it go, let it go. So there may be other things that God shows you, but we just want to be really creative and just let whatever it is that helps us that we can do. We've still got ropes here if you want to just break free of chains or anything that God says, please. And, you know, there may be flags and these guys, I'm sure, are just going to be really creative and just lead us. And so I just want to say, it's out there, guys. You know, there is no limits to this. We're on this new adventure of engaging in a way that we haven't really been able to do before. So there are balloons and there are bubbles. And there are lots of other things as well.